Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to you. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm alive to love. I believe all lesser values than love completely dissolve and fall off the edge of the cliff into BS. BS is bait and switch or something else you might consider, but whatever the case is, if it ain't love, it's a failing philosophy for life. Love alone is steady. Love alone is credible. Love alone saves us. Love alone holds us. Love alone makes life worth living. And that's why I'm here every week for the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values devolve into BS. So no BS for me, and that makes me the No BS Bishop, and you can join me as a No BS friend and brother, sister, whoever you are. Let's rise and shine with love, shall we? And here on this broadcast, and by the way, thank you for a half an hour of your life and time. I promise to make it as worth your while as I know how. I promise to keep you strong and steady going forward, holding on tight through the night with the power and the shining beauty of love. And today we're going to talk about the meditation, prayer, and contemplation of love. But before we get there, here on the No BS Bishop, I lead you in a couple of simple practices, but I believe they are deep and wide. They're holding strengths. They're holding stations of life that can keep you steady going forward. I want to talk a little bit about defeating the negative and rising to the positive and understanding how negatives and positives are all a part of life. But what I want you to do for me today is, if you will, let's come at this as fresh as we know how. This is for me and it is for you, I hope, as well. I share something I call Love's Creed every broadcast. Now, Love's Creed is it was a New Year's resolution for me. I wrote about a decade ago. Now, yeah, I know church creeds are hundreds of years old. Well, I can't quite claim anything hundreds of years old there for something I wrote, but I can claim several years. And several years ago, I needed a New Year's resolution that was beyond I'm going to lose weight, or beyond I want to do this or that with my projects. And you know, those are fine and good, but I just had the sense about 10 years ago or so, I needed something weightier. I needed something more profound for my life. And you might want to consider this going into the holidays in front of us, with Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's just ahead. Maybe Love's Creed could be your New Year's resolution. So what I want to do is lead you in that creed. Then shortly after that, I want to lead you in the Lord's Prayer. Once again, let's freshen it up, shall we? Let's be willing to shake up the ordinary and move toward something more extraordinary. Sure, we can station ourselves with what is memorized or predictable, but even with the memorized or predictable, there's a potential to make something life-changing about it if we decide to do it. So with the completion of Love's Creed, we'll go to Lord's Prayer, and I want you to join me in, let's shake up the normal, shall we? Let's take it toward something more significant for our life and living going forward. All right, so I want to read for you Love's Creed. It just takes a moment, and I want you to listen and savor with me. I'll try to slow down the words just a touch so that you have more of an opportunity to savor what this creed is about. And then I'm going to ask you to repeat after me in short bursts the creed that I'm going to share with you in a moment. The reason it's important for us to say out loud what we believe is I think our mind and our brain works that way, that what we hear our own voice say, especially when it's absolute truth and as much truth as we can reach for, I think our mind is nurtured in a way that nothing else can nurture it. That's why we do creeds in church. It's why we do the Pledge of Allegiance. It's why we do oaths down through the years. Even in a courtroom setting, I swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. I just believe in the power of your voice speaking into your own thoughts, and your brain, I think, is hungry to know, what do we believe? Why are we here? Why do we live? And what are we about to do? All right, here's Love's Creed in total. As I said, I'll slow it down just a touch because I want you to savor it in a new way today. All right? I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I am not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. I know just for myself, slowing it down is helpful for me. And I hope it's as helpful for you as it was for me. Now, let's go back through this, and I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. Once again, we need to say what we believe for the sake of our own hearing. All right, here we go. Repeat after me. I am alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Try to savor that the best way you can. If you'd like a copy of this, I would be delighted to send it to you. You can write me at by email at randydeanministries@gmail.com. It's Randy Dean Ministries. It's all one word, all lowercase letters, @gmail. Be happy to send you a copy of this, and I'm not going to BS you, bait and switch you by getting you on a mailing list where I'll beg for money or bother you with anything. I will only use it for answering questions or responding to your needs, maybe even prayers. Please let me know if I can pray for you. But know this, that my offering this as a copy by email has no other motive except I'm alive to love. And I genuinely, significantly, intentionally mean that. I'm alive to love. All right. Now, another repetitive practice that is valuable is the Lord's Prayer. I'm very aware, and I say this often, Jesus said, do not repeat this in a vain motion, just with the motion of going through the exercise of it. Don't do that. Don't let it just be an empty, repetitive thing. But say it as a means of being connected to millions of people throughout the scores and centuries of years that have said this prayer, from soldiers on a battlefield to priests in giant cathedrals to bishops and popes and everyday pastors and grandmothers and grandfathers and grandchildren at catechism and confirmation, you name it, everything in between, the Lord's Prayer is the most prayed prayer in human history. These words come from, as best we know, the lips of Jesus when his disciples said, teach us how to pray. And so he gave them words that He wanted them to hold as a container for how you pray. And so, as I said earlier, today's broadcast is going to be about the meditation, contemplation, and prayer of love. Well, the Lord's Prayer is a meditation and a contemplation about life itself. So would you join me, please, in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I don't know how you manage that when you pray it, but I know for me, I manage it by listening to my inner voice when I say a certain phrase in that prayer. And I can hear a bit of an echo that's good, that is reminding me, you need to hold on to that. My daily bread, you need to hold on to that. Forgive me my trespasses, you need to hold on to that. Whatever slice of the prayer comes up in some echoing, beautiful way, remember, hold on to that for whatever brief period of time it may be that you need to. The Lord's Prayer gives us a station upon which we can be standing in a understanding of what life can be about. So it's such a useful tool. I can't even begin to imagine, especially over the past half dozen years of my life, where I'd be without the Lord's Prayer. I don't want to think about how I could have lost so much quality in my life if I had not been hanging on tight through the night with the Lord's Prayer. So to that end, I told you today I want to talk to you about the meditation, the contemplation, and the prayer that love can be. You see, I know that when we fight through all the stuff in life, and I've just watched at some distance, not a long distance, but at least physically, I've been close enough to see a few people pass away in the last couple of weeks. And it's been a bit of a path of sorrow and tears. So to that end, the reason I bring that up is that I know negative things are happening. They're coming. They're right around the corner for any of us. And none of the negativities that come our way need to be put in the category of, well, I had that coming, or I deserved that. Don't do that. Catch yourself and change that internal dialogue towards something that sounds more like, well, negativity is always happening somewhere to someone, and whether I've done anything to deserve it or not, negativity is out there. So the best thing I can do for myself is to set my life as a path toward those things that are positive and truthful. Because as I live even positive and truthful, and if I carry my life in a meditation and contemplation of love, well, negativity is still going to happen. I'll be rejected. I may even be hated outright by someone somewhere. I simply want you to understand that I'm not promising you a rose garden. I'm not saying let's go tiptoe through the tulips by having love as our contemplation. I'm saying let's walk through the garden with love. Let's walk through the dry, hard, rocky places in life with love. Love is a mountain climb. Now, to that end, you're not going to just say, well, tomorrow I plan to go to Mount Everest and climb it. No, it doesn't work like that. Nor does love work like that. You know, tomorrow I'm just going to love the best and biggest way that I possibly can. Well, that's a worthy idea, but I'm suggesting to you, you need to look at love as more of a lifelong meditation, a lifelong mountain climb, where you prepare, where you plan, where you talk to other people that have been mountain climbers a while. Hey, I hear you've climbed a mountain. What did you do to get ready for that? How do you manage your life going forward? And so much of that is applicable to love. Talk to somebody you know who has a good habit, a good lifestyle of love. Hey, I'm one of those guys. You write me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. I'd be happy to try to answer your questions. But my point is to consult with someone. Maybe it's an expert. Maybe it's a counselor. Maybe it's your doctor. Maybe it's family or friends that you respect a lot. But get good advice for the journey. Mountain climbing is one way to illustrate it. A marathon's another. I'm a runner. I've had to kind of back away from my normal routine of running as much as I'd like because I've got some sore knees and I've been giving my knees a little rest. But there you go. There's a plan. I'm still a runner. It doesn't mean that I quit running. It means that I'm resting my knees because I want to keep running. I'm 71. I want to keep running till I'm 101. And if that's going to be the case, and as much as I know how to tell you now, it will be, I have to have good plans, a good meditation and contemplation about how I'm going to run. I'm not going to get up tomorrow morning and say, hey, I heard there's a marathon in town. I'll go do that. Well, no, that's just dumb. You just don't do that. Your body is not built like that. And I'm convinced, all of that to be said, I'm convinced love is just like that. We're going to have negativity. We're going to have disappointments. There are going to be mean-spirited people come our way. So if we live our life predicting that that's always going to be, well, then constant complaint is a dark prophecy. But if we admit, yes, negativity comes, but in the face of all things negative, I'm aimed at something through the night that's positive. I'm telling you, what do you say of the night? Morning cometh. To say something like Love's Creed will get you through being hated on and criticized and miserably treated. Reminding yourself, however others may choose to live, not so for me. I'm going to live a different way. I'm going to live in a different path. I'm going to live with different ideals and different ideas. And while I may feel disappointed at points, I am not going to live forever disappointed. I'm well known for saying I refuse to lower my expectations to the levels of my disappointments. And trust me, oh, listen to me. Oh, baby, I've had my fair share of disappointments. But I simply have chosen to love in the face of and in contrary force to disappointments. I like to tear words apart. Disappointed. There's two words there. To be dissed is to be negative. Appointed means to have an appointment. So if I've been disappointed, then it's important for me to get reappointed. Find a place to stop, shake off the dust, pick myself up, and in the face of negativity, find the contemplation of love. Know that love is still the most powerful force in the human experience. And if I've been hated, all right, then I'm going to walk it through. I'm going to shake it off. Maybe talk to a counselor, talk to a friend, get some help along the way, but I'm not going to live in being hated, because if I do, then that dark prophecy is going to come true. Not only will I live hated, I may end up being a hater. And I am not on this earth for hate. You see how that works? That's my meditation. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive to love. I'm alive for love. That's what making love a meditation can do for you. It rewrites the script. It rewrites the manuscript. It rewrites your biography. I want my biography to say, well, he didn't do everything right, but here's one thing we know he was at least reaching for, and that was love. I'm reaching, stretching my muscles to be a lover throughout this life. I've said it here before, and I don't want you to think this is a brag. I don't want you to think this is in any way, shape, manner, or form some kind of arrogant statement on my part. It's just a goal. I've said before, I want my last breath in this world to be the carrier of the three most holy, cherished, magical, charmed words in the human language. My goal is to say with my last breath, I love you. That could be my family. That could be my wife. That could be a doctor. That could be a medical staff. Might be a first responder. And it might just be me alone somewhere in a room. I don't know. You don't know when that last breath is that any of us will take. But here's what I do know. I want my last breath to have love in it. Why? Because that's how meditation works. To meditate is to breathe a thought, a truth. To meditate is to just let your breath be used for the sense of what it is you want in life. Hey, I want love. Show of hands. Who else in this world wants love? Then if we meditate love, not only will we give love, we are prophetically stating, love is coming my way. I'm unavailable for anything less than love. And if I'm unavailable for giving it, I'm unavailable for receiving it. For the failure of receiving it. I'm unavailable for anything less than love. Love coming my way, that's what I want. I got that one twisted up, but I hope you were meditating enough to hear me out, right? Sorry about that. To that end, I'm unavailable for anything less than love. So my prophecy is to give it. My prophecy is to receive it. It's coming my way. May take a while. Might take some time for some haters to move on past their hate. But whatever the case may be, if the hater just kind of live in their hate, well, then I'm not available for their hate. I'm here for love. And if I aim at that, then I'm magnetized to it. And whether the negative folk come to me with their hate, then there's a positive somebody coming to me with love. You know, it occurs to me while I'm talking here. Here we are coming in on the holidays, and with the holidays, we all know you can't pick your family. You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family, and you'll probably end up at some table or some family gathering, and some negative Ned or negative Nelly is going to want to bring up politics or something else you don't want to discuss. And I think we need to decide right now with a meditation of love what we're going to do in the middle of that. And to live for love means I'm alive for no other purpose but to love even negative Ned, negative Nelly, whoever they may be. I'm going to love them. Now, that doesn't mean I accept what they're saying. It just means I am not going to sit there and seethe and boil and be angry and give back the hate that's coming at me. I'm alive for love. And in the face of hate, in the face of negative Ned, in the face of negative Nelly, I'm going to be positive with love. My meditation doesn't change in positive situations or negative situations. My meditation is there in the middle of the negative and in the middle of the positive. My meditation is love. And I get it. It might be a little hard at times when old negative Ned is just beating that drum. Maybe you just got to get up and excuse yourself from the room quietly, not angrily, not with a huff, but in love. Just walk away. Build a boundary. Give yourself space. Go out for fresh air. Do something other than just sitting there and being tempted into hate. Move toward love. If you can sit there in love, sit there. If you can't sit there in love, walk away. Here's all that to be said, that in making love a meditation, a contemplation, and a prayer, it gives us priorities and it gives us a way to get through life. Well, let me bring this in for a close. I say here every week, the biggest mistake we make is thinking we still have time. Be present. Be kind. Love more. Love now. And in order to do that, I think it's important to practice your breathing. Breathe well. I want you to take a good, solid, deep breath on the count of three and hold it down against your diaphragm. Let's give ourselves the space to be quietly loving. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale. During the holidays, you may have to just breathe a bit while somebody else is breathing their negativity. Learn how to breathe for yourself. Don't get into short, shallow breathing with somebody that's being fussy and negative. Another thing we do here, and that is, I love this practice. I do. It's a way to practice the meditation of love. Because when you can't do it right, if you can't write poetry and you just can't put any other words into a nice balanced sentence, somehow simply and slowly saying with eye contact and heartfelt intentionality, the clear-minded three most holy, charmed, and magical words in the human language, saying those three words within the complete connection, I love you, can say it all. I know it says it all for me many, many times. Yes, I get it. It's a little awkward. It's a little sketchy feeling to say it like that. I know we try to get past it real quick. Love you, love you, love you, run away. But if we practice this, if this becomes a meditation, you won't be so tempted to run away after you've said it. You'll be more tempted to just hang on tight and smile and maybe give somebody a hug. If it's a complete stranger, you'll be looking at somebody's face that'll say, huh? Well, smile and say, I mean it. I love you. It's a life-changing practice. It's hard. And as they say, anything that we do that's worthwhile might be hard. Oh, yeah, remember that? Your coach told you that. Well, I'm your spiritual coach right now, and I'm telling you this is hard. And I'm telling you it's worth it. It's worth the exercise. And remember, the biggest mistake we make is thinking we got time. Oh, I'll do it another time. No, I'm challenging you. Be present. Be kind. Love more. Love now. Mother Teresa said, go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. Isn't that beautiful? Go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. Old song I remember as a teenager was, if you can't be with the one you love, then love the one you're with. Let's be people of love, no matter who's there, what's happened, what's going on, what's going down. Can I love in the face of negativity? Well, if I meditate love, I promise you, you'll learn how to love no matter what. So get out there into this world. Ugly is getting done to death. Oh, baby, let's be the people of beauty. Let's be the people of love. Let us be the people who are saying love, speaking love, living love, acting love, praying love, contemplating love. That love is a noun, an adjective, an adverb, and especially love is a verb. It's an action. How we walk the world with the pardon of God and the love of God in our every footstep we take. So honoring to me that you would choose to give me this half an hour of your life and time. I am Bishop Randy Dean. I'm thrilled that you chose to be here with me. Come back again next week, and don't forget, let's go into the world and love the people you meet. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.